morning to all of you, and welcome. We have two items on the agenda. Determination bill. I thought that we should focus on cleaning the bill up and determining what our options are so that Mr. Labuschagne leaves this meeting and comes back on Tuesday having presented a clean bill so that we finalize the bill next Tuesday, right? And if he can get it to you in an electronic version before Tuesday, that will also help Mr. Ramona. But I don't know whether that would be possible. That's entirely in your hands, Mr. Labuschagne. You had one bit of work to do for us, think about something with the other law advisors and then come back with a position on the matter.
Secretary, for some years, the main, there were yesterday two main issues. The first is whether we should the bill used the wording that is presently being used, for example, conditions of employment and service benefits. That was the first issue. And the second issue was regarding what effect this bill will have on the salary of the Auditor General. Chairperson, I have asked some of my colleagues to do some research to try or to attempt to determine what the expression conditions of service means and what they found is that for example that it includes the work days, hours, breaks, dress code, vacation, sick leave, that's the one issue. If you look at the Basic Conditions of Employment Act of 1997, it's indicated that an employer must supply an employee with the when the employee commences employment with the following particulars in writing, and then it goes on the date of the rate of pay for overtime, any other cash payments, any deductions, the leave to which the employee is entitled, and those are only a few examples, and I think the committee yesterday thought that those are not issues that the independent remuneration commission should be ordered with or should decide. I also had a discussion with the state law advisor, and their office is of the view that perhaps, as the committee sort of indicated, that we should delete the reference to conditions of employment. The next question that arose was, what is the difference between conditions of employment and service benefits? But although I couldn't find anything during my research, it appears that there is a difference, and if we delete references to conditions of employment, it will not, number one, affect the provisions of the bill, and it will not place another burden on the independent remuneration commission to determine, for example, dress code, number of days leave, hours of work and those kind of things. But then with your permission, Chairperson, I would like to ask the State Law Advisor who has also looked into the matter to give the committee some feedback in that regard.
Thank you, Chair. Our view with regard to the conditions, the Basic Conditions Act has a threshold in terms of salary. A certain salary is not is not entitled to let me put it, they don't have a right to certain things that are laid down in the Act, which makes
the commission,
yes, because they are over the threshold. Which leaves then, it says that any employee, if we can call them employees, they will have to negotiate with the employer. So there must be a consensus in that regard. So I'm sure it will be up to the committee then if we want to include. But our view is that let's leave the conditions of employment
in there.
Yes.
Okay.
Let us leave
in the bill.
Yes. And stick to the Constitution. What do you want to do?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
No, I mean, the conditions was not in the Constitution, and I mean, I really feel that we should stick to the wording of the Constitution, which is not the conditions of it.
Yeah.
Because they will be negotiating in any event, you know, with the Remuneration Commission at the end of the day.
The Constitution says salaries, allowances, and benefits.
Chairperson, yes, I need to apologize to the committee. I attempted to give effect to all the proposed amendments by the committee yesterday. I do have a document here indicating the amendments that I've done thus far, and in my document I have amended all the provisions of the founding legislation to provide only for salaries, allowances and benefits in line with the wording of the Constitution. So I don't know whether you want me to distribute this document, but unfortunately, as I said, there are, I think, one or two more commissions that I need to deal with, but the amendments, or the amendments to the founding legislation will be the same, again, just to keep to the wording of the Constitution, but I have already prepared options for the committee's consideration as far as those issues are concerned.
Chair, thank you. Just a small question. Who determines the conditions of employment, if you like, of a public office bearer?
Well, it should be set out in legislation and also in regulations. Have I got it correct?
Yes.
No.
It's the mechanism and the making recommendations and the recommendations to the president. Some legislation put it that way.
So there's no harmony. Christine and then Ms. Milani Machaka. Ms. Milani Machaka?
There isn't any provision or enough provision. It will depend from one institution to the other. So it's a grey area.
Mm-hmm.
Very grey.
Chair, the reason I'm asking this is because these are independent institutions.
That's the problem.
And if we're going to subject them to negotiations with somebody, I think that sort of compromises. they are independent. So that's why, therefore, I would have thought that everything that they get must be determined by the independent commission, so that they don't have to undergo that kind of negotiation with some other body.
Anyone else? Yes, Debbie?
I just don't see how, I mean, you know, there's no way the Independent Remuneration Commission can sort of set out their hours of work and all that kind of stuff. They just can't, especially given that some of them are part-time and they're professionals. If they don't do their job, they'll be kicked out. So I really don't think we should be regulating that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's my personal view as well, that because of their independence, we're not in a position to determine that. And I don't think we should settle the Independent Remuneration Commission with it either. These are supposed to be highly professional people with integrity. And if they choose to work an hour a day, well, Advocate Holomi Sen, then Ms. Pilani Majake.
Yes, in view of the comments you just made together with Ms. Schaefer, I think if conditions have nothing to do with money, then we don't have to to include them.
Yesterday, Chair, we decided, maybe this is not relevant for the present discussion, but it isn't something that we need to remove from our agenda. For now, it just feels like, because it's difficult, let's rather just forget about it. But the fact of the matter is, because of our oversight vote, it's incumbent upon us to really worry about it and to look at the mechanism of dealing with it. Whatever it will be, we need to put it on our agenda so that at some stage we can be in the position to look at it and debate it and then decide as to, and maybe even consult.
Our team of researchers and Christine as well can look at other jurisdictions. As I said yesterday, there's not very many, but let's see how they do it. We are faced with a prickly situation, and I understand the point being raised by Ms. Pilani Majake. Essentially what she's saying is, yes, it's a grey area, but it's something that has to be addressed. Now, fine, this is not the time and the place for it, not in this book, but at some point we're going to have to look at it. Sorry, Christine, you wanted to say something.
I know that it was raised a couple of years ago, I think, by the former public protector around things like, you know, who does he submit his leave to and that kind of stuff. It is an issue. I'm not too sure whether they've worked out some kind of arrangements since then. But what I was going to say, I'll put it in our legacy report as a issue for the next committee to put out.
All right. Honourable members, Advocate Holomisa.
Chair, I am disadvantaged because I was not here yesterday, but as I think about this matter of conditions, I'm looking at our own situation as public office bearers. We determine our own hours of work, dress code, and things like that. So indeed, it's not as if there's no other institution to look at. And therefore, if conditions are indeed about those kinds of things, work hours, dress code, and anything else that you can think of, and it has nothing to do with the actual money, then I don't think we even want to conduct a special process.
Okay.
Because we might have then to look at our own conditions of employment. And I don't think anyone is in a position to determine that. It just would be determined by the institution itself.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I hope that answers your query, Mr. Lamskaffi. So
Chief, this is yes.
For now, it's not part of this law, and it must come out, okay? And so we'll focus solely on salaries, allowances, and benefits.
It is in the examples that I gave was researched, so I won't say that in each and every case or in respect of each commission it will include, for example, dress code numbers of the hours, but it is a difficult situation because whenever I don't know which committee is going to eventually look at the matter, but that committee will have to sit down and in respect of each and every commission, chapter 9 commission, have to then list conditions of employment, because in my view I don't think what is applicable to one, for example to the public protector, will apply to the human commission. So this is, and I fully agree that this is a great area, but I don't know how it works in practice, but I'm sure that the commissioners among themselves sort of decide whether this is good or is this not. So, but I've really prepared options deleting that and to stick to the wording of the constitution.
Okay.
In the second issue, Chairperson, that you raised yesterday, is that the Auditor General gets his salary from money paid by departments which you see has audited, or let's put it this way, whenever the Auditor General audits a department, that department must pay a certain amount of money. From that money that his or her office receives, his or her salary is determined as well as that of his staff. Your question was, to what extent will this bill affect the present procedure? And in the bill, provide that the salary allowances, which I still need to mean, the salary allowance and benefits of a person appointed as Auditor General must be paid from the funds of the Auditor General. So in other words, in my view, the committee may differ from me, but I can't see that the bill in itself will affect the present procedure.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
If I may also add on that one, so that the salary of the Auditor General must be paid in the current Act. Must be paid by the funds of the Auditor General. So there is a section 36 of the Act that says what is the fund all about, what monies are there. So it is money appropriated by Parliament. It is a fee they charge when they've done an audit work. It is a donation. It all those monies that they it's where they sort of table the budget for approval to Treasury, and then and the business plan. So all those things are paid through that fund.
All right. Yes, thank you. Then the last proposal that was made yesterday is that we should substitute continuation in office with term of office,
yes,
which I've also done in my well up to where I've proceeded thus far.
Sure. Okay. All right, honourable members, we're dealing with draft 3 for now, Mr. Labuschagne and honourable members. Okay. at some point we will take the document that is before Mr. Labuschagne, we are not at the moment. When we reach that particular point, you will bring it to our attention and then we can distribute them. All right? Is that okay, or would you rather we work with that document?
No, yeah,
that's the one. I can distribute this one. As I said, I've done all the amendments, but I think I still need to effect the consequential amendments or same amendments to the audited general, and I think there's one other commission. Otherwise, I've done all the amendments that the committee proposed yesterday. So I'm prepared to distribute this document, but I just want to emphasize that it's not a complete document. I've done as far as I could.
So stick to draft 3. Right. Okay. You all have draft 3 in front of you.
Yes.
Right. Let's begin with a short title. We've had a fair amount of discussion and debate on this. Essentially, what you were saying is that these are not necessarily members. Can't call the Auditor General a member of a constitutional institution. Likewise, the public protector. And so we had to look for an option that fits. And Mr. Labuschagne has put one there for us. Let me hear you on this. It reads office bearers instead of members.
So,
first you, Mr. Labuschagne, and then I don't know if Mr. Olomisa wants to speak. His body language says he does.
No, I just wanted to propose acceptance of this.
All right. You want to still explain this, Mr. Labuschagne?
Chairperson, yes, in view of the fact that we now reverting back to the wording of the Constitution, I've in my latest draft, I prepared a further option which provides determination of salaries and not remuneration, because the Constitution is using the word salaries. It's getting complicated.
Yes, but
remuneration incorporates salaries, doesn't it?
I thought remuneration dealt with salaries, allowances, and benefits.
There's a suggestion here that you should use the word income. No, it's a joke.
Okay. We need a lot of that these days. No, it's a short title. So we stick with remuneration, honorable members. And the word office bearers of independent constitutional institutions? Right. So there you have your decision, Mr. Labuschagne. Right. Next one. Okay, we have a lot of options here. Okay, I see what we've done here. Insofar as the Public Protector Act, the determination of the remuneration and salaries, allowances, and benefits of the Public Protector and Deputy Public Protector. That's what it should read, isn't it?
We're taking out and services.
Yeah, we've discussed that. It might complicate matters. So the decision amongst committee members that we should stick with what the Constitution says.
209
sub 5. So it should read salaries, allowances and benefits of the public protector and deputy public protector. All right, Mr. Labuschagne?
Yes, Mr. Nees, that option is already, for that amendment, is already contained in my latest version.
Sure. Okay. And the same with the Human Rights Commission Act.
South African Human Rights Commission Act was passed by this parliament last year and assented to by the president. What was then required is that all the provisions dealing with the 1994 Human Rights Commission Act have to be deleted and inserted at the end of this bill for purposes of what's the word now, to be chronological, because the amendments to the Human Rights Commission Act as introduced into the in the bill as introduced into Parliament was to the 1994 Act. So in the meantime, the 2013 Act has been passed and assented to by the President. So what we basically do is we take all these provisions and put them right at the back of the bill.
Mr. Labuschagne, you have succeeded in confusing us.
That's what I quite understand.
We want to approve this bill, and we want to do so as speedily as possible. So try and assist us, if you can, please. We don't know where you are now. We are completely in the dark. I thought we were dealing with what is in Section 209 sub 5 of the Constitution in relation to the Human Rights Commission Act. But if we are amending the Human Rights Commission Act 2013, so be it. We understand that. But when you say it must be at the back, well, we don't know what you mean.
Maybe I express myself in a way that or not maybe clearly, that confused the committee. When the bill was introduced into Parliament, or the bill as introduced in Parliament contains amendments to the Human Rights Commission Act of 1994, right? Since then, the South African Human Rights Commission Act of 2013 has been assented to. So we now, or the committee now, needs to amend the 2013 Act and not anymore the 1994 Act.
Right.
And the sequence of the provisions in this bill is we start by public protector, which is 1994, and then general commission, which is 1996, and then where's the next one?
So
that in order to follow the sequence of the years,
it's not still the 1994 Act, wasn't it an amendment bill that we passed? I'm sure it was.
No.
So it's not still a completely new Act, was it?
No, it's a new Act because the Human Rights Commission Act of 1994 was based on the interim constitution. Well, last year we dealt with the SA Human Rights Commission bill, which was based on the Constitution, 1996 Constitution. And it's always been an anomaly that we had a Human Rights Commission that was based on the interim constitution. So we take the point you're making, Mr. Labiska.
So
we are trying to give you which options we are choosing here, and in the process go through the bill as quickly as possible. But if you take us to the back of the bill, well, I don't know how that's going to help. But we understand that insofar as the Human Rights Commission Act is concerned, we will refer to the 2013 Act and not the 1994 Act.
Okay.
Yes, sorry, Mr. Olamise.
Say, okay, it completely makes sense to me, the way Mr. Kaplan is proposing. We formulated this because it's chronological. We go in terms of age, and the Human Rights Commission Act is the youngest of all of these, so therefore it has to be at the bottom.
That doesn't say the bottom of everything.
It's at the bottom, but he said at the back.
Yeah. Mm.
At the back. This is the back here.
That means in terms of the section.
No, I understand that, but when he says at the back, you know, I'm thinking in terms of right at the back of the bill, when in fact what he means is at the bottom of this particular, because we're dealing with the preamble. If it's at the bottom, fine, Mr. Labiskafni, then we understand. Okay?
No, fine, Chairperson. So basically, it will now be the last provisions of this bill before the short title,
right? So the next one will be Gender Commission. Again, there, in line with the Constitution. Commission for Gender Equality.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Electoral Commission, again, in line with the Constitution. Now, Public Service Commission, we had agreed that shouldn't come in, for reasons that were explained to us. So that comes out, Mr. Labiskafni. Honourable members?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good. It would drastically change the classification of the bill from section 75 to 76, and okay. Yes. And does that also apply to the Financial and Fiscal Commission Act? All right. Yes.
Well, Chairperson, that was the decision taken by the committee that FFC must also come out, but ICASA must be included.
Yes, that was our decision. Okay. Change how? No. Doesn't.
The other two is because they have impact on the problem.
Yes. So ICASA again in line with the Constitution, Mr. Labiskafni. With a long name. What is the difference here? But either way, we take what is in the Constitution, all right? And the Public Audit Act, again, what's in the Constitution, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, and now we come to the bottom, and here you have your South African Human Rights Commission, 2013, eh? Okay, but in line with the Constitution, eh? All right, brilliant. Preamble, no changes there. Clause one. Clause one is okay. Right. Honourable members? Clause two? You okay, Debbie?
Yep.
Clause two. Yeah, we need to bring it in line with the Constitution, all right? So that's, let's see, section 2195. Okay. We've got the options there at the bottom of page 5. Sorry, which one, Mr. Schaefer?
Two, the middle of page 2A is Andy McBurkey.
Yes, yes. Salaries, yeah. To set salaries, allowances, and benefits, yeah. Approved by Parliament, the National Assembly. All right. There's an option for the sub B at the bottom of the page.
Previous meeting, the committee tentatively indicated that it supports this option because...
Which option?
The option one at the bottom of the page, seeing that the Chapter 9 institutions are accountable to the National Assembly and not to Parliament. And that's why I've prepared that option. But then if you look at option 2 and option 3 basically are the same, except that option 2 provision is made that the public protectors shall be entitled to a salary equivalent to that of a judge, which was also a decision of this committee. And same option 3 is basically the same, except that it includes allowances and other terms and conditions and service benefits. So option 3, I think the committee should consider option 3 subject to the fact that the wording be brought in line with the Constitution.
Yeah, I agree.
doesn't then say that it can't be reduced or changed during the term of office.
It says that.
Right. Oh, sorry.
So what are we saying, honourable members? We've got three options there. We're going for option three? Okay. Okay, option three. Provided that you've still got to bring it in line with section 219 sub 5, okay? Okay, good. And there's a sub C with the 2A with further options. The bottom of page 6.
The person used option 1 as well as option 2 deletes the requirement for the independent remuneration commission to consult with the line function minister. The committee has not yet, at one of the previous meetings, a proposal by the committee, but the committee has not yet taken any final decision as far as this is concerned, and that will apply to all the chapter 9s as well as the public protector and the auditor general.
I think option 1 is fine, subject to the change of the wording in line with 2195.
So you're taking out the relevant minister?
You said it must only be the finance minister, not the justice minister.
Yes, but the relevant minister let me finish. The relevant minister has the budget, and presently, when the judges' salaries are dealt with, Minister of Justice is consulted, together with the Minister of Finance, right?
Now the Minister of Justice won't be, because the Chief Justice is responsible anyway, and that's how we're moving towards, so it shouldn't be the Minister of Justice at all, definitely not.
Mr. Olivis?
Chair, I'm not sure if there's any institution at all in our state which doesn't have some relationship with a specific ministry and department. I think it makes sense for reference to a relevant minister to be included here. Because always there will always be the Minister of Finance.
Yeah.
But I think he has to be advised also by the relevant minister. It doesn't take anything to include it. In fact, it strengthens the position of that institution itself, because someone will be, in addition to his own institution, his own offices as an institution, there will be a politician who will assist in ensuring that the resources of that institution are acquired on an informed basis.
So the reason why we took it out is because we had this debate already. They are independent constitutional institutions. It's completely inappropriate for the minister of the relevant department to have any influence whatsoever. They are independent appropriations by the National Assembly, by Parliament. And that's why the Minister of Finance is the appropriate person.
Christine?
No, I don't understand.
Matter, it would appear we're going to have to vote. those in favour of the first above option 1, which includes the relevant minister.
Are we voting now?
Yes, let's vote now, because we're giving instructions to Mr. Lavaskakhni. All right, and those opposed? One. Okay. You have your instruction, Mr. Lebeskopny. Yes, it's recorded. Right. Okay. To B, to C. 2B is fine, Mr. Labuschagne, as it is. 2C, there's two options there. And the one says submitted.
Just before we go to 2C,
yeah.
2A will also then, which I've already done, will need to be brought in line with the Constitution.
Yes, obviously. I think that decision applies throughout, okay? We'll rely on you just to keep track of all that.
As I said, I have copies of documents, my latest version. Unfortunately, I haven't addressed two of them, so...
Sure. Alright. So we've got that. 2C, top of page 7. Does it go to Parliament or does it go to the National Assembly, Honourable Members? A notice issued under subsection 2A. Let me hear you. Is it National Assembly or Parliament? National Assembly. All right, the tribe has spoken. No. We're not playing Survivor. We don't play Mr. Lemska. Okay, so you've got your instruction? Good. Amendment of section 2A, clause 3. By the substitution for the heading blah blah blah. The deputy public protector shall be entitled to such. Trying to understand how you've crafted these two options, Mr. Lebeskopny.
Chairperson, sorry, the first option is a new insertion where the heading of the section is amended. So that does not relate to the other options, but again, that option the heading or the amendment of the heading will have to be brought in line with the Constitution.
Okay, so let's see section 2195. Okay. All right.
Sorry, the same applies to the option in the middle of the page in respect of section 5.
Right.
Constitution. Those are the only changes as far as subsection 5 is concerned.
Right. And then B. Approved by Parliament or approved by the National Assembly, Honourable Members? At the bottom there, that's sub B. National Assembly. Okay. Got your instruction. Mr. Lebeskopny?
Chairperson, yes, again, subject to the Constitution.
Right. Okay. Investigating or considering the salaries, allowances and benefits of the deputy public protector, consult with the minister and the cabinet member. All right? Christine?
So I don't want to take us back around the conditions of employment, but the enabling legislation, the Public Protector Act, actually gives the National Assembly, the National Assembly determines the conditions of employment. So we're assigning the determination of the remuneration section to the Independent Commission, but it's that conditions of employment is now just falling away altogether.
We're not dealing with that.
Okay, so that's we decided we just falling away. We're
dealing
with this
again.
Falling
away.
Okay.
We're sticking to salaries, allowances, and benefits.
Okay.
All right. All right, Mr. Labuschagne. Okay. So what does that mean? National Assembly. And here, consult with the minister and the cabinet member responsible for finance.
An objection for me, please.
With the DA opposing. Okay. Which means you're going for five capital A, Mr. Labuschagne.
The second option.
Second option. Shall, when investigating or saying blah blah blah, consult with a cabinet member response? No.
Oh, is it? Is it
no?
It's the present five capital A as it is possible at the moment.
Yes.
Subject to the constitution.
Yes. Okay. Alright, 5 capital B, a notice, that's fine. 5 capital C. Again, it's the National Assembly, honourable members, instead of Parliament. So that will be the option, Mr. Labuschagne. Okay. Right. Act 54, Human Rights Commission. Blah, blah, blah. That's fine as it is, Mr. Labuschagne.
There's some
change there.
That's one of the provisions that we have moved
not to the bottom.
Right. So the committee doesn't have to look at
fair enough
at that at the moment.
Fair enough. Does that apply to clause 5?
It doesn't.
All right, so that goes. Deal with that later. And then there's an option here. Do we ignore that on page 10? This all just comes out, as I recall you explaining. And all you're doing is saying to us, this is being removed, deleted.
Moved from here to the bottom.
Right.
What, all of a sudden that cross out?
No.
So you're not actually crossing it out,
you're moving. We're just moving it from clauses 4 and 5, becomes now, I think it's 16 and 17.
Yeah. Something like that. All right. Which brings us to page 11. Commission for Gender Equality. So it will be now be for gender equality throughout, Mr. Labuschagne. We do have an option there to consider.
Yes, if I may assist.
Right.
The option is that there was a gender equality or Gender Equality Amendment Act passed at the Senate by the President. In that act, the definition of minister has been substituted. So that's why in this bill we no longer need to amend the definition in terms of the bill. In this bill, because it has already been done. So that's the purpose of the option. That's why members will see that I've struck out that whole paragraph B dealing with the substitution of the definition of minister.
So we have no choice but to accept the option, which strikes out
difficult question, but
yes. Well, that's.
But this is the reality.
Yes,
shape, isn't
it's a reality.
The definition of nesting that the Commission for Gender Equality has already been substituted.
Dealt with in another act. All right. Oh, sorry. Spilani Majaki. Oh, sorry. Anybody else? No. Right. Good. Now, full and part-time members of the commission.
2195.
All right, Mr. Labuschagne. National Assembly, Mr. Lansky.
Yes, and the first option on page 12,
yes,
is again we need to amend the
yes,
heading. Again, it's 219.
Yeah. Okay. And the next option. Approved by the National Assembly. Okay. Right. Sub 2. Sub 2. Is that 2195, Mr. Labuschagne? All right.
Yes, so this is
subject to section 2195. Then there's a sub 3. Is that also section subject to section 2195?
Yes, it is.
No?
Not OD.
Ah, yes. Okay. So we're going for the first one, not the option. Okay. With Ms. Schaefer's objection. Right. That's that. But option 2 falls away, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. What am I saying?
Sorry, Chairperson. No,
yes.
Because the committee at the previous meeting decided that if you look at on page 13,
yes,
options 3, the committee opted for that option that we deleted the existing provision dealing with additional remuneration of for part-time members if they do additional functions or perform additional functions. So the bill has introduced included that as a sub section 6, sub clause 6, but seeing that the committee does not support that, we need to amend the existing subsection 3 of the Act, and that is where option 2 comes in. It still provides the deletion of additional payment, but then also then we go on further. So if the committee supports option two, it will also have to be then brought in line with the constitution. So basically, what we initially did was, or what in terms of the bill, the existing section, subsection 3 of the Act has been renumbered to become subsection 6.
Right.
But the commission, the committee does not support that subsection. So from a technical point of view, that's why we have prepared this option 3. So the existing option 3 is then deleted, the existing subsection 3 is then deleted, and from there on we provide for the same process that the IRC has to follow as far as the determination of salaries and allowances are concerned.
No, but
it's provided for now in 3.
Yeah, it is provided for, and the other thing is option 3 deletes the minister and the cabinet member responsible for finance.
I'll say, listen, that was this option 2. We're now talking about option 2 at the bottom of page 12. That was prepared before the committee had taken a decision as to whether the cabinet minister should be consulted or not. In view of the decision this morning of the committee, that will be rectified. In other words, that the cabinet member, responsible cabinet member, will still be will have to be consulted.
Yes, Mr. Shaw.
That's now in 3 already. So you stick to the original 3, then both options fall away on 12, as well as the options on the page 13. But it's not necessary because it's all covered by the existing 3. It says, Independence Commission shall, when considering that, all that needs to happen is bring it in line with 2095.
Yeah, and the rest
of the members of the Commission consult with the Minister and Cabinet Member responsible. That's it, finished. You don't need any of the other options on 12 or that one, option 3 on 13.
That's how I read it, Mr. Levskov.
See, listen, that's correct, but the problem is the existing subsection 3, if you look at option 2 at the bottom of page 12,
yes.
That is how the existing subsection 3 of the Act reads.
What's the dark one?
The
dark. Okay, all right, so we need to go with the 3 at the top before option 1. Right?
I thought that we had agreed that even the part-time members of the Commission's salaries, allowances and benefits would be determined by the Independent Remuneration Commission. And that's all it's got to say, Mr. Ramaskar. I must confess these options are now confusing. Mr. Holomisa?
Yes, thank you, sir. I remember that option 2 was crafted because we were concerned that there could be what was considered additional duty performed by a part-time commission. And that's why, therefore, we opted for this proposed option, which is that a part-time member of the commission may be paid such remuneration as may be determined by the president after taking into consideration the recommendations of the independent commission and obviously consulting the relevant minister and cabinet member responsible for finance. because we're saying a part-time commissioner is a part-time commissioner. Sometimes it's because they're going to do certain work. Sometimes they won't do any work. So the commission will determine what remuneration will be given.
For the same members, part-time members, any members of
So the commission is responsible for determining the remuneration for commissioner, be they part-time or non-part-time.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
So that's why option two is the preferred one.
So,
what is plan two?
Preferred in the sense that it's deleting the other stuff, yes. But then option three, I don't know what three is meant to be then. So rather, go for option two then and just have that as three. Sub three, I think. Except you'll have to reinsert the minister for the ANC.
So you're looking at option two on page 13, Ms. Dominguez.
Oh,
right. You see, that's where the confusion arises. Some of you are referring to option two on page 12.
No,
and others are referring to option two on page 13. You've got two option twos here, and that's what's causing the confusion.
Looking at
page 13, and except with one minor adjustment there, Mr. Holomisa, the relevant minister must be reinstated. Yes.
Edification. What is your motivation for inserting the ministers when they have their own independent separate appropriation?
Who presents the budget for these institutions? Is it not some minister at all times? Be it chief justice, be it any independent commission. Is the minister responsible?
No.
Yeah.
Ms. Pilarimajake.
In terms of saying ministerial responsibility, I think it's because of the fact that there are those ministries that are actually used like as a channel for funding. So that's where the minister becomes relevant. But should the process of actually allowing these institutions to get money directly from treasury be instituted, then it will
fall away. Yes.
I wanted to just comment about additional duties for part-time commissioners.
It's necessary.
Additional duties for part-time commissioners. We just need to be careful of it because it might be something that may actually open up a situation that will become problematic. Let's look at what is happening now, which is the situation where you find that they're almost giving like a retention kind of a thing, uniform for every month. Now, if you're going to say
anything more they do?
Additional duties. And then you get bills and bills at the end of the month, which is regarded as additional. Moreover, we don't have conditions of services, we don't have anything that guides the process. It will actually lead to a situation that's going to create a very big problem for us. So basically what I'm actually saying is that we need to look at additional duties. And if we don't have any other way of crafting it, we can rather remain with this similar kind of situation that you've got now.
Yeah, I prefer that. Ms. Schaefer?
Sure, you're going round and round in circles and going backwards and forwards a bit. I mean, the Remuneration Commission can decide that if people do additional duties, they'll get paid X amount of money.
Fine, but then they'll have to make their case to the independent.
That's fine, let them do that.
We're not going to deal with it yet.
Yes, that's I thought was what we decided.
Yes.
She's confirming it?
Yes, she's confirming it.
I thought you were saying other things, sorry.
No, she's not. All right. So, long story short is option two on page 13, Mr. Labuschagne, with one minor adjustment there, the consultation of the relevant minister. Am I right, Mr. Olamisa?
Yes.
Right. Have we got that?
Well, then we decided on page 12.
Well, that's the problem. That deals with the commission per se. We're dealing here with the part-time commissioners.
This in option 2 at the bottom of page 12 is also only dealing with the part-time commissioners. Or the deletion of the existing subsection 3 of the Act dealing with additional payment for the remuneration for the part-time commissioners. So the option on page Option 2 on page 12 is only dealing, it provides for the deletion of the fact that part-time commissioners are entitled to additional remuneration.
We don't want that, Mr.
That's why it's being deleted here, Jefferson.
So you're saying that option 2 on page 12 addresses that?
Yeah.
Right, so we're giving you the okay for that. Now, page 13. But option 2 on page 12 must include the relevant minister.
Okay.
Have we got that? Okay.
So you say if you look at option 1 and option 2.
Yes.
Is in option 1 what you actually say you want?
I thought that's what it is, but Mr. Labuschagne is disputing that. So
because option 1 deletes that portion in bracketed there, which refers to additional remuneration.
Where are we now?
Page 12.
So the bottom portion of option 2, the one that is being inserted, seems to me similar to option 1. Seems as if they say the same thing.
Yes, but you've got to first delete the other side, because the other side's already in there.
Yeah.
So I'm just reflecting
the option 2 reflects deletion.
Yes, deletion.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Does that take us to page 13, Mr. Lapscott? Okay. A notice issued, blah, blah, blah. It's National Assembly, honorable members.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you've got that option, Mr. Lipska. Okay, right. Now, we're back with the part-time members.
Listen, I think this is where the confusion came in. As I said, the subsection 3 of the Act, the present Act, provides for part-time members.
Okay.
But then, in order to firstly create this whole process or uniform process for determining the salaries of full-time and part-time members, that subsection has been renumbered to proposed new subsection 6, but in view of the committee's decision in respect of option 2, at the bottom of page 12, the committee does not have to look at any of the options.
Great. That's what I wanted to hear. Yes, great. That's brilliant. Now, you see, the confusion is lifted. Yes. If they deem it necessary. Okay. So we move on to page 14. Six is okay as it is. The new clause 6, that's fine. New clause 7, there's an option there. Under A.
It is again, it's amendment of the heading, and it must be brought into line with the Constitution.
Subject to section 2195. Okay. Right, and then under sub 2, there's an option. Does that also be subject to section 2095? Mm. Mrs. Schaefer?
Yes, but
It needs to be, yes, and I would suggest we also then take out the reference to full-time and part-time and just say the members of the commission shall be entitled.
Will that solve our problem?
Listen, why I used full-time and part-time members is because the Act already provides for full-time and part-time members, and at the previous meeting the committee said I must try to be consistent as far as that is concerned. And I looked at all the Acts again, and wherever the Act specifically refers to part-time and full-time members, I try to be consistent.
But yeah, I agree. Sorry, I'll withdraw my proposal, because actually it might also just assist the Commission when they're looking at it. They may kind of forget that they're actually two different categories, and this might just remind them of that. So, it's fine.
So we leave it as it is, honourable members? Subject to section 2195? Okay. So which one are we opting for here? Mr. Labuschagne?
I think the option,
yes,
subject to the Constitution.
All right, fine. Subject to section 2195. Okay. And the rest of the clause as it is, except for B, where we have to choose between Parliament and the National Assembly. Shall not be reduced. So it's option one, is it? What's the difference between option one and two?
Same.
Conditions of service. No, shall the salary, blah, blah, blah. Is it option one?
Subject to
2195. Mr. Labuschagne? All right, okay. Subject to section 2195. Okay. Then we go on to C. Consult with a cabinet member responsible for home affairs and finance. Okay. So it's the one at the top. Okay.
Subject to
yes.
Constitution.
What?
IEC.
Okay.
Fair enough. Okay. Then we're down to 2C at the bottom. Again, it's National Assembly, Mr. Labuschagne. Okay. New clauses.
Sorry, that deals with the Public Service Commission.
So those come out. So we ignore them, eh?
They all but be deleted.
How far?
That is on page 16, clause 8. The board has indicated new clauses. If you look at my footnote at the bottom, so it's page 16 and page 17.
Yes. Up to where?
Up to amendment of Section 1 of Act 92 of 1997, and the committee has to from there.
All right. Section 1, blah, 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 and we've got three options here. And we're looking at a definition for constitutional institution, honorable members.
If this is committee has previously indicated that it is in support of the third option, we only refer to any independent constitutional institution, including the CASA. So I don't know whether, I think the issue was flagged. That's why I prepared so many options here.
I'm thinking maybe we should go with option one. Constitutional institute means, well, no, actually slightly, means any institution established, any independent institution established in terms of the constitution, including the CASA. So it's slightly, it's actually a kind of option four.
Say again.
Any independent institution established in terms of the Constitution, including ICARS.
That sounds better. Proceed.
But we're not covering all the independent institutions.
Can't hear you.
So we're not covering all the independent institutions.
Right.
We're not covering the FFC or the
PFC.
Including ICASA but excluding the FFC and the public service.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to create too much uncertainty if we aren't specific. So if we say including ICASA and excluding those two, surely that would then be better, because then it covers everything else. Unless there's something else. Maybe we should ask the law advisors just to have another look at what other possible institutions that could be covered by this, just to make sure we don't include something we don't want to.
Well, then we just amend what is in the, at the top of 1A. Constitutional institution means the public protector, the deputy public protector, the auditor general, comma, any commission established by Chapter 9 of the Constitution. Wait. And the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa as provided for in Section 192. There's no reference to them anyway. They're not in Chapter 9. Mr. Labuschagne.
Chairperson, in that case, I would rather go for option 1, seeing that the Deputy Public Protector is not a constitutional institution. We had a long debate on that. So my preference would be to go for option 1.
But then you'll have to bring in Chapter 9.
You'll have to bring in Chapter 9, yes, which will then automatically exclude PSC and FFC.
Yes. All right, honorable members?
Are there no other chapters that we want to?
No. Okay. That deals with that. And we then go to page 18. What are we doing here in page 18? Hear you, Mr. Schaefer.
Actually, we just agreed to cut out the deputy public protector, so I assume that means we're going to put that back in again and then put in back chapter 9 as well. So is that public protector, deputy public protector, AG, and any commission established by chapter 9, including ECOS?
No, what Mr. Labuschagne explained is that the deputy public protector is actually not a...
I know, that's what we're referring to.
No, option 1, he's actually crossed out the deputy public.
Yes, it comes out. Must come out.
No, but then we aren't covering him at all.
No. Where necessary, we do cover him. Yes. Mr. Labuschagne.
See, listen, we must just keep in mind where we deleted the deputy public protector was under the definition of constitutional institutions. But when we deal with the definition of office bearer, there we include the
deputy.
And therefore, I think option 2, and it's my view, but for the committee to decide, I think option 2 is the most appropriate one because it refers to independent constitutional institutions, including the deputy public protector. And I know option 2 on page 18.
Okay. That's the option 2 you're referring to on page 18. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. That's gone. Right. Now let's see here. We have a new clause 9, which is fine as it is. Page 18.
Yes, it was basically a renumbering in view of the fact
yes.
that the first two clauses were to be.
But there's nothing we have to decide yet. Everything is as it is. Page 19. Subject to section 2195.
Yes, and then of course also the let's first deal with the new clause at the bottom of page 19.
That seems to be okay. Honourable members,
same as all the other
yes
definition of independent commission included
right.
in the other acts. Then go to page 20.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's a substitution of the heading of the section subject to constitution.
Right, that's subject to section 209. By the National Assembly, the salaries, allowances, and benefits of the councillors may not be reduced. Blah blah blah. But there we have an option under 3. Ah, it's the minister, relevant minister.
Can I take you back to the last paragraph?
Which last paragraph?
On page 19.
19. Right.
Then after the ability, are we still going to continue with this? Seeing that we have actually decided on chapter 12, section 8, that we will then therefore you away with additional responsibilities?
Wait a minute, you've lost me.
Roman figure 2,
affordability in relation to that one.
Yes. Now that we have decided on page 12 to leave out additional responsibilities, are we still really worried about affordability, because you have like a situation where you have almost like a pension?
But surely they have to consider affordability.
In relation to,
I don't know. I think it's unnecessary ambiguity.
No, they have to. They have
also
to.
Also, we have corrected the 12, the page 12, section 8, open arrangement that we are going into. Too much of spending, unforeseen spending.
Page 12, dealing with part-time members.
On the part-time members, yes.
Yes, but the affordability referred to on page 19 is general. Affordability to all the institutions. They have to consider affordability. They can't not or ignore it. It's a very important provision, actually.
Well, that was my opinion.
Okay.
That's my opinion, Chair.
All right. Where were we? Where were we?
On page
20. 20. All right. No. We don't take the option. On page 20. There's one under sub 3. We've agreed the minister must be consulted with Mr. Lubskafni.
Yeah, we agreed.
We have.
The ANC has agreed.
All right, the ANC
has agreed.
Okay. Yes. All right.
I've just picked up in view of the fact that we are now using the wording in the constitution on page 19 in the middle that new paragraph B sub of Roman 1 will also have to be brought into line.
Yes, obviously subject to right. Section 2195. Okay. So we've given you the instruction on page 20, and then we go down to sub 5, and again we opt for the National Assembly, which is the option, right? Slavskafni. Okay. Clause 12 is... That's fine as it is. Okay. 13. We need the option there, don't we, Mr. Lubskafni?
3% yes, because that's a new one,
yes.
Subject to the Constitution.
Okay, subject.
And I've already prepared that.
Fair enough. There is a subject to section 2095. Okay, deputy chairperson, deputy chairperson, other title, blah, 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 chairperson, deputy chairperson. Oh, okay. Under sub 1 here, sorry?
2195.
Yes, but which one? Doesn't matter, does it?
2%. Actually, no, because the option is only a reflection of the top one, except that it refers to the remuneration allowances and other terms and conditions of appointment. Again, that's the only difference between the two. So, the committee can maybe consider going for the existing subsection 1, subject to the constitution.
Right.
Can I just clarify then that A and B will apply in any event to both?
Yes.
The option is just in respect to that top paragraph.
So we're taking the top one, subject to sections 219.5. Okay. Good. Approved by Parliament? No. Approved by National Assembly, Mr. Lobscafni? Subject to 2195.
Option 2 on page 22, because it's Parliament, provided that subject to 215.
Okay.
And here we also, option 2 also. Take it a bit further by saying that the remuneration may not be reduced, and the allowances and other terms and conditions may not be adversely altered. So it goes a bit further than the provision as introduced, as you will see at the bottom of page 21.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that is to bring it in line with all the other Chapter 9 institutions.
Okay. And then sub C, we'll go for the first one, subject to section 2195. Am I right?
Without the option is because that one includes consultation to minister.
Okay. For the option. Okay. All right, clause 14. That's okay. No change required there, Mr. Lobscafni. Okay. 15. And benefits.
Chairperson, yes. that is, how far I got was a high document as I prepared, so that will have to be then changed in line with the Constitution, and again it's only the A is to substitute the existing heading of the section.
Okay. Which option we opt for here does. The Auditor General is entitled to such salary, allowances and benefits. That's what it's got to read, isn't it, Mr. Lubscaff? Doesn't really matter which of the two we take. They both have to change.
In line with the Constitution, too.
Right, okay. As determined by the President, blah, blah, blah. Approved by Parliament? No, approved by the National Assembly. Am I correct? Okay, there you go then. Then under 1A, capital A, independent voice must consult with the cabinet member responsible for finance. That's it.
Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to take sides with Ms. Schaefer and... and make no reference to
the relevant minister.
Just remain with the cabinet minister responsible for finance in this particular one.
In this particular case. All right. 23. It's the same, one and the same. So either one there, Mr. Labuschagne, and again it's subject to section 2195.
Well, Chairperson, let's go for the one as introduced.
Yes.
Then not the option.
1A.
Yeah.
Yes, capital A, subject to section 2195. And down the bottom, it says, okay, and then over the page, you have the option of the National Assembly, which is the one you're opting for. All right? Okay. There's a further option there. Not be more than that of a high judge of the High Court of South Africa.
Thank you.
to get more information about the salaries of people in this category. At the risk of discouraging the best possible people to apply for this position who may get more in the private sector. Or are we I can't recall if we decided one way or the other. But I thought we were going to get more information on it. Or discuss with the AG's office or something.
So you're proposing the removal of the ceiling?
I was just wondering at one point whether we need to think about it, but I mean, I think I'm sure we decided we needed some more information about the kinds of salaries that people in this occupation actually get paid in the private sector. Not that we necessarily want to equal them, but we certainly don't want to find out that they are substantially less. Because I'm sure we decided that.
Julian and Christine, not now, but for Tuesday's meeting, can you provide us with something? Yes, Mr.
Thank you, Chair. I think, I know it will change because it changed earlier in this book, but the capping the salary doesn't feel, we must use a stronger word than that, I don't think it supports the independence of the office, which is the function of the National Assembly. Because it does mean you can go quite low, it should not be higher. And by doing it, by dropping it significantly, you've got a leverage on the office of the Auditor General. So I think one must rather go with substantially the same.
Equivalent.
Excuse me?
Equivalent.
Oh, equivalent, sorry. Equivalent, it was substantially. Equivalent, or it is substantially.
Equivalent to?
Well, that would, the committee will have to decide depending on the appropriate level, because one must also remember when one says equivalent to a High Court judge, High Court judges do get appointed for life, and their remuneration includes pension benefits, which you don't have with the Auditor General. The Auditor General, you have a non-renewable term. So why I'm saying this, for two reasons. It is always a difficult calculation to make, but Parliament has done it in the past and has made recommendations. But at the same time, one must remember that you won't get the necessarily the same salary as the High Court judge. Your remuneration will be worked out or calculated to be equivalent to a High Court judge, taking into consideration that a judge earns a certain salary over, say, 20 years, and your Auditor General will get that or equivalent salary over a period of 7 years. It's anything between 5 and 10. So there is room for movement. But that point of whether it should be pegged at the High Court judge or higher, that is a debate that's going on at the moment. What does it mean to say at the moment the access top echelon of the judiciary? Which is a little bit vague, because in my view...
Not a little bit.
I agree. My view on that, submitted an opinion recently to the presiding officers, is in broad terms you have two streams in the judiciary. One is the magistrate stream and one of the High Court, or the superior courts, including constitutional court judges. So you don't, top echelon is not necessarily the Chief Justice. And that, I think that opinion somehow prevailed in the previous Committee on the Auditor General. They pegged in the salary to the highest level, which is a very high level, and it created certain problems. And those problems will start raising themselves if this bill goes through the way it is, because at the moment, I think the Deputy Auditor General earns a little bit more than a High Court judge. But again, that must be worked out by an actuary, because I think the Deputy gets close to 3 million or over 3 million a year, and the High Court judge gets about 1.5 million. Deputy AG gets about 3 million. But again, the Deputy's conditions of service is not the same as the Auditor General's conditions of service. Deputy AG is there permanently employed or on a contract, a performance contract. Next, Chair.
See, in my discussions with Mr. Arthur Mulotta, who chairs the Committee on the Auditor General, he's declared himself satisfied with the amendments that we brought that are before us.
Sorry, what committee is
it? Committee on the Auditor General.
That's
COAG. COAG. They did, thus far, they were responsible for determining the salary allowances and benefits of the Auditor General. They desperately needed us to fix that clause that refers to the top or higher echelons of the judiciary. So I really don't know then. So we fix it and then we revert back. Yeah.
If the problem is pegging it with a high court judge, would it not be possible? Would it not be the solution to just remove the reference to that and then allow the independent commission to decide? I mean, they have to take into account various factors. So let them do the work.
All right. Then
I mean, if that's the problem, is that.
No, that's not the problem. The problem is with the term in line with the top echelons of the judiciary. That's the problem. And that we have to fix. And they pleaded with me that we must please do that here. Because now that it's in law, it's just, they're embarrassed, We can do away with the ceiling of the High Court judge. Because obviously that's what Mr. Jenkins is saying. Take that away and then leave it in the hands of the Remuneration Commission. For all of them? So you're going to have these commissioners earning more than the salary of the Supreme Court of Appeal judge.
The point Mr. Jenkins is making is that the Supreme Court judges earn a certain amount over many years, and the commissioners are pegged for their term of their office. And I think it's quite a valid point. I also think it's a very valid point that he makes about the independence of the office. So we can maybe add in some more criteria like we have here for the AG. Maybe we should add in criteria for the other bodies also, and say that they must take into account, you know, their experience, whatever, whatever. But actually, it is more in line with the independence of the institutions to allow the Remuneration Commission to determine their salaries. Maybe we should just not peg it at all. They can decide what's reasonable and affordable. They already have to consult anyway with the Finance Minister and now other ministers. So surely that should be actually better.
If you go to page 19 and look at the list of criteria, and 6A and 6B.
Yeah.
Okay, my first question is how do 6A and 6B hang together? But there's things like inflation increases, available resources of the state, any other factor. And then specifically for Chapter 9 or the Constitution, it's things like affordability in relation to the responsibilities, level of expertise and experience required. And then there's a kind of like a remuneration analysis of benefits of other constitutional. So there's a kind of like across the board looking, horizontal looking.
Mr. Jenkins.
Thank you, Chair. Just my reading in any case of the Constitution, with an across the board approach, I would still like to see some specific attention to the Auditor General and the Public Protector. Their positions are more entrenched.
How so?
To remove them, for instance, you need a special majority within the Houses.
And
the AG. Specifically to the Auditor General, from an international perspective, you sometimes get, not sometimes, quite often, one sees that the Auditor General is an independent office within their parliament, separate from the executive, simply because it performs that critical technical oversight function. not the oversight, but more or less gathering the facts to enable Parliament to do the oversight function on the budget. It's for these reasons, I think, that their independence must be protected vigorously. So I think the point that I made earlier was well taken. We cannot have a cap on it, rather a minimum salary, or then equivalent as set out in there. But then one can pay attention to, or we're not hamstringing a salary determination. As I said there, the issue there for me is what is an appropriate salary for a person in that position, and how can we translate that into a legal provision in this act, in this bill, before it becomes an act. So one mustn't also tie yourself too closely to only a High Court judge. If one wants to get someone that expects more money and you really want to get that position, if it's then indicated in law that it's similar to a High Court judge, you cannot go ahead and offer that person more. I think, Chair, to be, in my view, to be honest, the mistake that came in with top echelon of judiciary, and I'm not arguing that it should be there, I'm just saying that the mistake that was made is in the beginning that was taken almost as a given that that must mean constitutional court judges, but specifically the Chief Justice. Now, I disagree with that, simply because the Chief Justice is the head of the judiciary. It's a specific position. It's a position that entails a lot of administrative work. He must still be a judge. He or she must still be a judge with the normal judicial functions, as well as a type of state function as head of the judiciary. For instance, presiding in the House when the President is elected, swearing in members of Parliament, etc. So there's a lot of functions to that position, which for me does not make it, if I can use this simple term, logical to say, but therefore the Auditor General must also be at that level. I think that was took out the half full glass. It was a very generous concession that was made by Parliament to the previous Auditor Generals. Now, if the problem is that we need to get away from that position, and I mentioned the Deputy AG, and I can only assume other members, senior members in that office also receive quite a good salary, that must or can be corrected over time through their office administration. As positions become open, one can start readjusting salaries or peg the salaries for a few years. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but that can be done. I don't think that should prevent this committee from determining what is the right words to use to get a salary for the AG that will ensure his independence, his or her independence. My only concern, I won't place any emphasis on it, is to say that when we say it must be equivalent to a High Court judge, we're really pegging it at that one level. One can actually, even just in simple language, say it must be equivalent to the band between.
No.
But yeah, then it opens up.
Let's do this, honourable members. Let's take away the reference to the High Court judge for everyone. For the Auditor General, the Public Protector. And then in this bill, Mr. Lamskakhni, change that reference in the Public Audit Act to the upper echelons or the top echelons of the judiciary. That will satisfy everyone. Sorry? Take what out? Yes. So in this bill, we remove that reference in the Public Audit Act to the top echelons of the judiciary. So we are solving two problems. Are you with me, Mr. Lipskafni? You look very worried suddenly.
Yeah, exactly.
Why?
Didn't we have to find something else?
What something else? We don't.
Because we now, okay, I followed the Advert Jenkins' arguments. So the idea is then no benchmarking.
No benchmarking.
And even in the case of the Public Protector.
That's right. All right. Are we clear, Mr. Lipskafni? Okay. Right. Prof?
Chair, what you said are some of the concerns we discussed as well. I said this before. So I agree with you.
All right. Anybody else? All right. Is that clear, Mr. Lavskakhni?
So it's right. Only in respect of the public protector and auditor general. Because not in the case of any of the other commissions.
Well, there's no reference in the other cases. Yeah. Okay. God help us. Well, yeah, look, and of course the relevant ministers and the Minister of Finance obviously will have to keep an eye on it. So that when they're approached at the appropriate time, then they must make their input. Okay. We're still on page 24. We're done with it. There we've given you the instruction on the top of page 25, Mr. Lavastrafi. So that proviso comes out. Okay. Good. Clause 16. We start with an option.
The reason for the option is that
the explanation you gave right at the beginning. So we're right at the back now.
Not at the back.
Okay, okay. All right. So that 16 is fine as it is. 17? Settling for the option. Honourable members? Okay, subject to 2195. Good. Approved by the National Assembly, good. May not be blah blah blah, may not be reduced. Okay, there's another option on page 26 at the top there. Remuneration of the commissioners may not be reduced, nor may the allowances and other terms and conditions. That's subject to section 2195, is there? Lavskakhni, am I correct?
Chairperson, yes. Actually, the only difference between the provision as introduced into Parliament and the option is office or employment, so actually the committee doesn't matter whether the committee supports the option.
Yes. Either one is subject to 2195. All right. Okay. Sub 3. Consult with the cabinet members. That's a slight change. That's because we're dealing with the Human Rights Commission. Okay. Same objection as noted. So we're going for the first one. Mr. Labuschagne, subject to 2195. Chairperson.
I'm a bit confused now. Is the committee going for the one without the option?
Yes.
Because if you look at option two, that is in the same situation as I explained, as far as the Commission for Gender Equality is concerned, where we initially had the part-time or additional remuneration for part-time members as a new sub-6, but because the committee decided not to go for that revision, I had to prepare option 2A. But then, if the committee goes for option 2A, it will have to be brought into line with the constitution. So the same explanation and discussion that we had when I tried to explain the reason for the option under the Commission for Gender Equality is applicable here.
Except that here in 2A, if you, that's the direction you're pushing us to, the relevant minister must come in.
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay. All right. Yes, subject to 2095. And again, the notice referred, submitted to the National Assembly, eh? That's on page 27. Okay, honourable members? Okay. Now, back to the part-time commissioners. I thought we had dealt with this.
Chairperson, in view of option 2,
yeah.
On page 26,
right. This falls away.
All these options regarding part-time members fall away.
Fall away, eh? Right, very good. Yeah, yeah. How far does that take us? Right to the bottom of the page. Okay. Yeah. That leaves us with page 28. This act is called, and then that changes as well, Mr. Labuschagne. In line with the new short title.
Okay. So it will mean that option 1B.
1B, remuneration of office bearers of independent constitution. Very good. That's it. 1B, honourable members. Fine. Is there anything left, Mr. Labuschagne? I've given you all your instructions now.
Listen, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to complete my document, the one that was given, or seeking to give effect to the instructions yesterday, so that the committee has a new document, a draft 4, and that I'm then going, perhaps, I should then, in that document, include all the instructions that the committee gave today, and then, so that the committee has eventually a final, let's call it a working document, and and then I will also prepare a clean bill with all the options that have been deleted.
Good.
And hopefully I will be able to send that to Mr. Romano as soon as possible. But definitely before
Tuesday.
No, definitely before Tuesday. Yeah.
Right. Before Tuesday, Mr. Lovescafe. All right. Okay. That's done. Special Investigative Units Amendment Bill. Honourable members, got you all here today. Mrs. Schaefer?
Yes, Mr. Chair, after the discussions yesterday, I would like to propose that this is a very critical bill to ensure that the institution that fights corruption in South Africa doesn't get held hostage again to decisions by the President, and that we should pass a motion of desirability to continue with this bill.
Motion of desirability is moved by Mrs. Schaefer, seconded by Mrs. Smuts. All those in favour, please raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, please note those. All those opposed, please raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4. Motion is defeated.
4-3.
Yes, 4-3. Yeah. We won a by-election by 20 votes in the Northern Cape. A victory is a victory. Wow. Okay. I'm impressed. There's a report that Mr. Romano is distributing. I need you to look at that carefully and ensure that it conveys the wishes of the Portfolio Committee.
How did you know they were in the front?
Well, he drafted two. Yes. The other one is in his office.
Under paragraph 3, I mean, we say that both institutions did not express, but I would like to say that both institutions chose not to express.
Okay. Chose not to. All right, Mr. Romano. Mr. Olamisa.
Third line, Chairperson.
Third line, which paragraph?
Yeah. First paragraph.
Paragraph 1 or the introduction?
The introduction.
Ah, okay.
The bill seeks to amend. The amend. I think the amend will be removed.
Wait a minute.
The bill, it reads, the bill seeks to amend the amend.
Amend. Okay. Take out the amend.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Raman. Okay. Christine.
In the same paragraph of one line up, it's in 2013, not on.
Referred to the committee in 2013. Good. Anything else?
The report to be considered at the bottom.
The report to be considered, Mr. Miller. Yes, Christine.
And then paragraph 4, it says 25th and 26th February and 2014.
Yes, 2014. Yes, Mr. Holmes.
In paragraph 4, second line, I think the word desirable should be deleted.
Well, obviously. Desirable slash comes out, Mr. Romano. I don't think that was self-evident, but okay.
Enough did you make.
Okay. Anything else, honourable members? If not, can someone move for the adoption of this report? Moved by Mr. Alamisa, seconded by Ms. Pilane Majake. All those in favour, please raise your hands. Four. Those opposed? Three. Okay. All right. That's it. Thank you, honourable members. We're done for the day and the week. We'll meet again on Tuesday. Determination, yes. Unless the NCLP sends us legal practice bill back, but well, I don't know.
No, there are marvelous suggestions from KZN, for example. I just wanted to ask the items that were put on your program for next week, whether they are something that is going to happen. One of them was a report from the Human Rights Commission on fire. And the other one was, what was it? Mr. Roma, I forget. But are those happening is what I'm basically
asking. Are they happening, Mr. Roma? Okay, so it's provisional. It's provisional.
But is the Human Rights Commission preparing something?
Don't. Yes, we are. Thank you. Thank you all.